The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you want to just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 on 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
January 27th has been marked on my calendar since last January 27th.
Oh, I've got goose pimples.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about a dog's purpose.
Just bristling with goose flesh over here. So excited for A Dog's Purpose that comes out on January 27th in theaters near you.
I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a huge picture. There have been multiple reports of abuses to dogs during filming, and I think the film is going to
be a
real heartwarming picture for families to enjoy together.
I'm just glad that the movie goes out of its way to prove that A Dog's Purpose is to entertain us.
Yes, and then die, but then be a different dog later.
What the cost?
My favorite part of the trailer is when the beagle dies and then is a golden retriever, which then dies in an airplane crash, and then all of a sudden it's a beagle again. I love you, A Dog's Purpose. It's A Dog's Purpose. When they were making it, they were like, what's everybody's favorite part of Marley and Me? The end of it. So what if we just made a movie that was all the end of Marley and Me?
All
just
the
over and over again forever.
The dogs die over and over again.
But then you get a new dog.
You would think at some point this dog would be like, okay, so reincarnation is real, but I am just a dog. Over, like, what do I have to do here to get out of this cycle? I'm just a dog over and over again. Different breeds, of course.
Right.
But
I mean, I don't want to be a whippet. I want to be a chocolate lab. So let's go talk to that bus. Poof.
Thank you. I haven't seen it, but do you think the movie ends in the final incarnation, the dog wakes up and they're finally a human?
I think the final incarnation is he wakes up and he's half dog, half man. He's like, well, it's a start.
Maybe they go full
action hero.
And then some badass Guy Ritchie end credits.
There we go. We could also have a Bicentennial Man situation where he does become a human and he does marry his master, the woman who owned him the whole time. And then they fall in love.
Listen, I really want to marry you, but
I am a dog now,
but I have a very good feeling about this one. So if you could throw me into that wood chipper and just let me try one more again, I think that I will come back as a human on this one.
So you're pitching like a Marley and Me Groundhog's Day crossover.
Right, exactly. He does some good shit for like an afternoon. He's like, well, time to beef it. Let's see if I can be a human this time. A lot of people forget it was a book first.
Yeah.
A Dog's Purpose was a 2010 novel written by American humorist W. Bruce Cameron, who I'm sure you all remember from 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Which
was a series that was also adapted into...
Please tell us more about 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter,
Justin. 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter was adapted into a TV series that, of course, killed John Ritter, is the most notable.
Justin.
It did. What do you want from me? That's the show that killed John Ritter. So Bruce has had a good run, and now he's back with just killing dogs over and over again. Not dogs, the same dog.
The same dog. And Dennis Quaid's in the movie, and at the end of it, he dies, and he becomes 5 birds.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the same reaction a lot of people did the first time they saw the trailer, that my wife showed it to me, just like losing it. Like, couldn't do anything except hold the phone aloft for me to view. I thought for sure it was a Christian movie. Like, it had to be a Christian movie. This is a Christian movie about
that endorses dog reincarnation.
Yeah, we're like Jesus. He helps Jesus or tells somebody about Jesus or helps him find Jesus or something.
Why is there only one set of paw prints?
Exactly. That's where I did fun dog tricks for your entertainment. But then I saw Dennis Quaid, and I was like, Denny, are you doing okay? Denny, are you in the film?
For the first, until Denny's reveal in the movie, in the trailer,
yeah,
you could have very easily convinced me that we were looking like an Animal Planet original movie.
Sure.
That they were getting into the movie business.
But then he was like, he calls his agent. He's like, listen, it's Denny. Just finished up that script. For a dog's purpose, you sent over that hot one.
Denny Q got the script.
Denny Q got the script, did absorb. Listen, 5 stars. This script only needs one thing, and I think this film will flop unless you make one big change. And they're like, what? And he said, you're going to need some vitamin D. And that's for
you're
Dennis.
Also going to need to kill 3 times more dogs.
Listen, there's only dogs 8 dogs that die in it.
I need the dogs. You know, I haven't seen the movie yet, but as I understand it, it's about a dog that keeps dying and coming back as other dogs that keeps finding Dennis Quaid. And I have to
kill him.
I hope there's a scene in the movie where, like, Dennis Quaid lives in Connecticut or whatever, and then the dog, you know, falls in the lake, and then it comes back, and it's a chocolate lab. But, oh, damn it, I'm in Wales.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. I gotta get all the way back. Damn it. And he finally gets back to Connecticut after like a year of getting there. He's like, hey, what's up? And then a tree falls on him and he's like born in Madagascar. And he's like, what? This is so much travel.
You know, once he gets stateside, he's being like super cautious.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Every street. No, I'll wait for the light. I know I'm a dog, but I'm gonna go ahead and wait for the light.
Griffin, I actually saw a press screener of the movie, and the fucked up thing is the dog actually keeps being reborn in, like, the same town that Dennis Quaid was originally in. And Dennis Quaid keeps moving.
Yeah.
Like, Dennis Quaid keeps trying to get away from this fucking dog, and the dog keeps finding him every time. And that's a dog's purpose.
I'm going to teach English in Shanghai. Ah, damn it. How am I supposed to... I'm a dog, DQ. Hey, DQ. DQ. Help me.
DQ, why you do this?
Why do you do this to me, DQ?
The thing they don't tell you is that Dennis Quaid kills the dog every time. And, and the dog is just trying to, like, he knows he's got a serial killer on his hands, and he's trying to reveal the crime. But every time he gets close, Denny Q's like, nah, not this time. Just put it in a well.
Yeah.
He stars it out so it won't reincarnate as fast. It gives him time to get away.
God.
It's a dark movie, Griffin. I don't know what to tell you.
It's the lovely Bones. Which would also work as a title for a dog-based movie.
The Milky Bones.
The Tasty Bones. The Beggin' Strips. Boy, A Dog's Purpose out January 27th. I'm so excited to see it and see if all the fan theories are true. I've been playing along with the ARG online, and we're all having a lot of fun here at we call ourselves the Purpose Heads, and we're just so fucking excited for this movie.
A Dog's Purpose is, it's buck wild.
Very important to me.
It's very important. I did want to release again, some pretty brutal animal abuse allegations that are in no way funny, but... it is A Dog's Purpose is the name of the film. So if you want to avoid it or watch it, I feel like a watch doesn't always have to be positive. Sometimes it's sort of like, I got my eye on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you think DQ is feeling right now after these dog abuse allegations have started popping off? Because holy shit.
I read some of the responses from people involved, like Josh Gad is the voice of the dog. Josh Gad's fully like, don't know, wasn't there. The director of the movie is like, don't know, wasn't on set that day. Wouldn't have happened if I had been there. Hachi Machi. I'm sure DQ felt the same way. He's like, no, I was getting some crafty and just enjoying myself and trying to center myself for the performance.
They had tortillas, soup over it, crafty, and so I was mostly hanging around that sort of station.
I was talking to my brother. If you need to check that alibi, you can call him. Oh, what's that? You can't get a hold of him? Weird.
Weird. That's so weird. I wanted to throw in a quick sidewatch. Trolls, The film is coming to, it'll be on like on demand stuff, I think this week, January 24th tomorrow. Apple TV, I know it's going to be there. Blu-ray, I think, is the following week. I'm very excited because it'll finally be the end of my daughter wanting to watch the Trolls movie and it not being available. And so watching the most batshit content on YouTube is fucking so crazy right now. I don't know if you guys have like got in. If you search for like Trolls toys, which is normally what we end up going with.
Yeah.
There's like short films about, I know I've talked about weird YouTube before, but like kids weird. Like there was one where the Trolls toys had all their heads pulled off and then their heads were hidden underneath other toys that had to be opened by this giant pair of hands on screen, and then the heads had to be reconnected. And then there was another one where Branch and Poppy got married, and then Poppy got pregnant, and it was just like a short film about that, you know, for kids. It's pretty wild out there on YouTube, y'all, if you haven't been out there, but that my hell will come to an end where I can finally just enjoy the film. I saw two times in the theaters, but now I'm like finally going to be able to just enjoy the story of Branch and him finding joy in his heart again on Apple TV when I purchase that film tomorrow, January 24th.
And then Trolls, you're just 3 days away from A Dog's Purpose coming out. So how's your cinematic week?
It's going to be a very good cinematic week.
Star Wars just now, while we're recording this, just announced the name of the new movie. It's Star Wars Episode VIII, The Last Jedi, which I very much doubt that. There will probably be a few more of those magic space warriors.
Is it really called that? Is that
The
a
Last
joke?
Jedi. I'm The Last Jedi. Really? Because there's two of you. No, it's... The movie ended and there were two of you. No, but I'm the last one.
I don't believe that one.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
Number 9's going to be like, just kidding. Here's 6 more Jedis.
Man, it's so rare we get to do breaking news.
Oh, it's so nice to be able to bust out some entertainment news. Travis, you've gone silent for a while. Are you just sort of contemplating, what, Trolls, Dog's Purpose, Star Wars 8? There's so many different things you could be thinking about
now. I'll tell you the truth. While Justin was describing his weird YouTube wormhole, my brain broke a little bit, and I thought, like, I must have dropped out of the call or something, because I couldn't understand the words he was saying.
Yeah.
It's, if you Google Trolls toys and then hold on for the ride of your life, it's all toy videos on YouTube are absolutely madness.
Yeah.
There's people a video called Branch and Poppy Kiss.
Oh, a lot of people have been waiting for that.
With real people as the trolls. It's it's 9 minutes long.
Oh, it's just a really long smooch then.
What could be happening for 9 minutes in this film? How much story development is happening in here? You know what? Here, just for a second.
This isn't going to be good for anybody, Juice.
I just dropped in the Skype chat. Just for a second. If you guys could just like...
This is actually a lot.
It's a lot to deal with if you Googled Trolls, Poppy, and Branch Kiss.
So
on
right
YouTube.
Now I'm looking at a man and he's doing green face and he's got some blue Goku hair and... It's just a lot of build up to the kiss. I'm kind of hopping around, kind of scrabbling through this video.
This shit has 4 million over,
that's
almost 5 million views.
That's the worst thing. We're done. We're done with. It's okay. Over, Johnny.
We got to stop. We got to do questions. We got to do advice. We got to do questions and advice. No, yeah. We can't. Nobody can see
it's
this.
It's probably
nobody
a Bergen. The Bergens eat the trolls to be happy. So listen. It's pretty crazy out there on YouTube right now.
People are putting lots of videos up on YouTube right now. I was on it the other day, and I watched the first season of Bug Juice is all on there. So
yeah.
So get at me.
And you can also watch Branch and Poppy French Kiss for 38 minutes.
It's been 15 minutes. We got to do the damn thing.
Brothers, I have recently learned a terrifying truth. I've been in this relationship for about 2 months.
Months. Too much indeed.
And I just found out that my girlfriend sometimes drinks milk in the shower.
Okay.
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 Okay. At first I was slightly apprehensive, but I assumed it was out of a personal bottle or something. And then I learned that it was in fact out of an open glass with no lid. She insists this is perfectly acceptable, but it's utterly horrifying concept to me. Am I good? And that's from Not a Milk Drinker in Massachusetts.
Okay.
How busy are you, huh?
Yeah. I have so many things on my to-do list, I have to combine some of them.
Yeah, I have to drink some milk and take a shower. Of all the activities to combine, that is by far the least convenient.
So, this, would the, okay, the personal bottle is, like, weird to me. I guess you mean a personal bottle of milk, not like a baba. Okay, that makes sense. Sorry,
guys.
Or just like
your, you know, aluminum special bottle that, like, you refill with milk for the shower times.
Yeah.
The thought of drinking milk and then a little bit of water getting in there is no good. I don't like that even a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't like the thought of drinking milk because I'm pretty lactose intolerant, and then I would be drinking milk on the toilet. And then that's a never-ending cycle. I would be in the bathroom all day just dealing with all these milk problems that I've given myself. But the thought of drinking a big glass of milk and then you turn around weird and then like a little bit of hot water gets in the milk? Bad.
Now, that is how they make skim milk.
They just add hot water to milk?
Yeah,
it's just watered down. Hot shower water.
And a little bit of Head and Shoulders. A little bit of Irish Spring in there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you should do that. I don't think that should be done in society that we're in now. Because I just don't understand.
But you know,
Zag, I would like to zag for a second.
Oh,
okay,
shit.
Zag on him.
If this is what your girlfriend does to just, like, chill, if this is, like, her me time is a little shower milk, it ain't hurting nobody. That isn't taking anything away from you. This might, like, her, you know, frosty glass of shower milk might be the only time she gets in her day to really just like treat herself to some shower milk.
You know what I'd do?
What's
that? I would drink some of that shower milk, some of that frosty shower milk, just to get the buzz going. And then when I was sick of drinking the milk, or when my stomach started hurting immediately as soon as it crossed the threshold of my diaphragms and stuff, on my flanges and stuff, as soon as it crosses that and it hits my stomach lining and my guts go all rotten, as soon as I was done drinking it, I would just dump it on myself and get that baby soft milk skin. And maybe that's you know, you drink it and you drink it down to halfway and you're like, I'm sick. And then you dump it on your body and you get that baby soft milk skin.
Yeah.
Is she just looking to extend the shower, maybe? Just like, she really loves shower time, but she... Okay, wait. This has just occurred to me. You need your hands in there. Listen, you need your hands in there. You can't have one hand constantly on milk duty. How do you squeeze the Irish Spring into the loofah if you have one hand holding your milk?
I mean, maybe you got a cup holder in there. Maybe it's a custom job.
Ooh, nice. You know what? Yeah. That is a good gift, though. Good gift idea. A shower cup holder. If you can find one of those on Amazon or something. Next. That's a good gift because it doesn't just say, here's a cup for your shower milk.
Right.
It also says, like, I accept you. You know what I mean? Like, I accept you.
I have a Yahoo here. Can I read it? And yes. Whoa, Yahoo, give me a banner advertisement for Shondaland. Hello. It's a real thing. Guys, Yahoo's advertising a thing that I could go and watch and consume. It's not telling me about Melissa McCarthy or Ellen DeGeneres' recent death.
Things are turning around.
Very exciting. Okay. This one was sent in by Morgan Davey. Keep it wavy, Morgan Davey. Thank you. Now it's Rooms to Go. God, Altaba's really taken off. Maybe I should give Altaba a chance. It's by Yahoo Answers user. They're anonymous. Jefferson asks, help, how to properly get rid of a Ouija board? Ouija? A lot of people say Ouija, and that doesn't... It's not. It can't be, right?
It's Ouija.
Elijah, I have had nothing but bad luck with this paperboard I printed, and I'm tired of it. I just want to move on and not think about the paranormal anymore. It's been telling me to kill by someone named Zozo. I've been lied to by something named Kelly or Nancy. That's a bad board you got, dude. killed by someone named Zozo, or I've been lied to by someone named Kelly or Nancy. How to properly get rid of this thing? I want it out of my life. Oh, and please, done tell me that Ouija boards are fake. Because I had it turn off the light in my house. So don't say it's fake because it's real.
What?
If you think, hey, if you think it's fake because you haven't tried it using it hard enough or you're just too wussy to try it, so tell me how to get rid of this thing. So is your, important.
Is your Elijah board hooked up to your Echo Dot?
Yeah. Your Elijah, board has Ouija. Smart home technology inside of it. It's the internet of Ouija.
It's finally a smart board because it's 2017. Your Ouija board should be smart. Listen, can we drill down on one question? I've been lied to by what?
Kelly or Nancy.
And so what? Exactly.
It's telling me to kill by someone named Zozo. So
Zozo's okay. I get that.
Yeah.
When you use, think about the practicalities of using a Ouija board. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you think there are like? I don't understand how you're differentiating between.
It's like. Yeah,
two so, entities named Kelly or Nancy. Like, why would you think that's the same person that's just maybe going by Kelly or maybe going by Nancy?
I'll tell you the problem here, Justin. The question asker assumes that they have a faulty board when I think they have a faulty ghost. And you're like, hey, ghost, who killed you? And the ghost is like, I don't know. Kelly, Nancy, who Nancy? Can even tell?
It maybe well, all the spirit said is it's a woman's name and it ends in a Y. So yeah. Just like...
It says K-E-L-L-Y, Kelly, wait, N-A-H, hold up.
Okay.
Maybe their name is like Mary Sue, but it's Kelly Nancy.
Yeah,
my name is Kelly Nancy, and I want you to kill people.
Now, Yahoo Answers user Dr. NG says, since it's a paper Ouija, it's not a genuine Hasbro Ouija, it is worthless.
It wasn't so made by the Hasbro witches.
The Hasbro necromancers. Had you not been a cheapo and bought yourself a proper GHO at any fine toy store, no fucking clue what that means, you could have donated
Hasbro Ouija.
Jesus.
Probably.
Yeah. You could have donated it to Goodwill. As a game, it's good for a $2 tax deduction if you itemize your taxes. I recommend you.
Now, listen, Kevin, taxes all look good. I do want to ask you about this one charitable donation of it says here a Ouija board, $2 donation of a Ouija board. Is that correct?
It was a GHO, Tom. I don't know what to tell you.
It was a genuine article, babe.
Oh, Jesus. That's definitely this person's concern. How do I get rid of my printed paper Ouija board while also saving myself some scratch?
Excuse me, gentlemen, by Googling GHO Ouija board, have stumbled on an article called Warning Signs of Zozo, the Ouija Board Demon.
Oh, that's no good. Oh, well, this is probably a fucking, this is probably the movie, isn't it? This is probably the movie. I think there's probably the movie had a Zozo, I bet.
Here are some signs you may be in contact with Zozo.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Below, now our podcast is haunted, by the way.
Great.
Below is a list of items that may indicate you are in contact with Zozo during a spirit communication session.
I don't want to be in contact with Zozo, damn it.
Hang up, Zozo.
Hang up, Zozo. Get out of here.
Hey, put Smooth back on. Put Smooth on the line.
Smooth back on. I miss Smooth. Get out of here, Zozo.
Rapid figure eight movements of the planchette. Rainbow side-to-side movements of the planchette. If the planchette spells out Zozo, Zaza, Mama... OZ.
Papa, beep beep, ding ding.
Jojo, ding dong.
Bobo. Oh, damn it, guys. It said ding ding. Zozo's here. Why didn't you just call him ding ding?
That's okay. Mean. Wait a minute. What if it spells out all these things? What if you're not in touch with the demon, but rather are in touch with the ghost of Scatman, the Scatman?
Zozo, Zaza, Mama, Mobo, Oz, Abacus, Zozo, Zozo, Zaza, Mama, Mama, Ozo, Zo, Abacus, I'm the Scat Man!
Zozo, Zaza, Mama, Oz, Abacus, Zozo, Zaza, Mama.
Figure eight movements, rainbow shape.
Plan. Shake your planchette all over the place.
We gotta destroy the Ouija, though, because we can't have a Jumanji situation. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, that's not what that is. I'm thinking of the mask. Where they tried to destroy the mask, but it kept coming back.
If they printed off their own Ouija, where did they get the planchette from?
I don't know, Travis. That's a fine question. Probably made it from a jelly jar and saran wrap.
We should diagnose that. Like, if your computer's broken, if your computer is inhabited by Zozo, you don't just assume it's something. You run through some diagnostics. I'm just saying maybe the problem is not the board, but in fact the planchette, the Kate Blanchett. You know what I mean? Like maybe
it's
that's
entirely
the problem.
Possible, but we're all dancing around the bullshit of how to destroy a genuine Oija.
It's not, you, though.
But again, it's not a genuine Griffin.
You're right. It's not a genuine Ouija, so this person's just making shit up, and they don't have Zozo. You're fine. Put it in the garbage disposal. Flush your stupid paper Ouija down the toilet. Now, if I had a genuine GHO, mm-hmm. and this thing was ruined with Zozo,
yeah.
nasty with Zozo, dripping with Zozo's ichor, what do I do about him?
You gotta bury it under your local shoe factory.
One thing that this website recommends is that you set boundaries before you start any spirit communication.
What?
Yeah, it's important to set boundaries with ghosts, entities, demons that you may be communicating with. Hey, so that's not that wouldn't be a very good demon, huh? If you have like a safe word that it respects, that's not like really what I think of with a demon. Like, I'm okay. No. I'm sorry. You're right. I crossed the line. That was too far. I'll
that
turn
was
the
on
lights
me.
Back on.
I get it. You know what I mean? Thank you for communicating with me instead of just being mad and not telling me why.
Instead of at me.
Statement. I am a demon. I want to eat your soul.
Do you think after the Ouija movie came out that the rate of Ouija usage across the country spiked or diminished? Do you think that kids saw the Ouija movie and said, I don't want to fuck with Zozo, and so they did not buy a Ouija board? Because you know Hasbro probably like pushed the very much so like they did with Trolls when Trolls came out. They were like, here's new Trolls. I bet they started printing Ouija boards again to time it with the release of the movie. But that puts themselves in a weird situation where it's like, it's a Ouija board. And then you're like, oh, sick. And you see the movie and the kids get killed by Zozo probably. And you think like, this is not a good advertisement. It's not if like in the Coca-Cola polar bear commercials, if a child came up to try to get some Coca-Cola and the polar bear fucking killed them. That would make you think like, maybe I don't want Coca-Cola. So do you think people are using these things more or less?
Well, I know to speak for myself, Griffin, just using I statements here, I have not stopped playing Battleship since I saw that fucking flick.
Yeah.
So I would think that probably it's the same deal where, like, you just get the fever, you know?
Do you think if you saw when the year after Jumanji came out and swept the nation with David Alan Greer fever, with Dag fever, mm-hmm. do you think that if you were a small child the year after that movie came out and you loved that movie so much and you found an old mysterious board game that you would fucking play it? Because I think I still would be like, I know this is going to, like, really be taxing on David Alan Greer, but I kind of want to know what the adventure is. It's an old wooden box in your grandma's cupboard, and it says, like, tropical adventure on it, and you're like, I think I'd like to find out. And there is, like, a faint drumming noise coming from the box, and you just saw Jumanji. Would you still crack that lid and roll those bones?
Yes. Hell yes.
No
Hell
question. Yeah. I played Jumanji in a heartbeat if given the opportunity.
Do you think the Zathura kids saw Jumanji, and when they saw the Zathura box, they were like, this is going to take us on a deadly space adventure, but fuck it, man. It didn't work out so great for David Alan Greer, but I really want to check out the Zathura game.
Are you aware that Ouija, the movie, was produced by Hasbro Studios?
Yeah.
It kills people.
Yeah.
Like, this is a film.
Come buy our game. It'll kill your kids with Zozo. Merry Christmas. I got you a Ouija. I want you dead, you dirty fucking rat.
Perfect. Print it. You send it to theaters.
You nasty fucking nephew. I got you a Ouija board. I hope Zozo chokes the life out of you, you nasty nephew.
And it does strike me. I keep thinking about the Ouija board, and it's weird because it's very singular to me. I can't think of another board game that is sold that's like, enjoy playing Monopoly, but also when you play it, you're making real money. Like, there's not really another board game that has a deeper layer of, like, sales pitch to it. Like the Ouija is a fun party game, and also you're contacting Satan. Like, that's such a weird... And people are like, oh, that's fun! Like, you can buy it at Target!
Yeah, like, when you pop the Pop-O-Matic Popper in Sorry, they don't try to convince you the dice are alive.
Yeah.
And it's really shaking those pieces of shit up.
Be careful playing the game of life. Like, that shit... You've got real babies now.
The game of death.
I hope your mousetrap works. Those little rats have the plague. They don't, really.
It's just such a fucked up sales pitch. Buy our game. It might kill you.
I mean, you could play Grape Escape with real grapes, I guess. Like, you could do... I was going to joke about that, but you could do that. You don't have to make them take them to the factory, mash them, smash them, another history. You could just, like, get some grapes and play Grape Escape with real grapes.
You might actually be worried about waking daddy.
Yeah. You could wait. You could play Don't Wake Daddy so hard that your daddy, in fact, wakes up because the game got so overzealous. That's possible. That one could happen.
I mean, you could actually put a goat on the roof when you're playing a game of Hey Pa, There's a Goat on the Roof, an actual board game that Hasbro made in 1966.
Do you think that anybody was ever playing 13 Dead End Drive and then a painting fell off their mantle and killed them? Like, was that... Do you think
statistically speaking, yes.
Yes,
probably. Absolutely. Everything has happened once. Well... Gentlemen, why don't you follow me? Get in my back seat. We're going to the money zone together. Let's go. Our first sponsor this week, Travis, I wanted to tell you
about it. It's a dog's purpose, and we already did that
one. It's a dog's purpose, and we did that one. Our second sponsor... is Squarespace. My Brother Me is supported in part by Squarespace. Make your next move, make your next website. If you want to make a website and you don't know where to start, now you do, because it's squarespace.com/mybrother. You can get a free trial of their all-in-one platform. You got nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. They handle that stuff, for you. It is the best way to make a website. They got award-winning 24/7 customer support. It's really easy to set up. It's used by a wide range of creative people. I saw that they actually have a new ad on Squarespace for John Malkovich making a clothing line. So if you go to johnmalkovich.com, it's a Squarespace site where he's like has designed clothes, and it's amazing, and the whole thing is incredible. And thank you, Squarespace, by the way, because I didn't know I needed John Malkovich fashions in my life, but I do definitely do. But it's a great service. We've used it, and we can highly recommend it. Just go to squarespace.com/mybrother for that free trial and 10% off your first purchase. Make your next move. Make your next website. Squarespace.
Now, you did a website, and it's so good, and now you own your own business or whatever, and you need to hire the right people for the right stuff, then you should go to ZipRecruiter, because they're the other sponsor that we have this week, and that means that they're our favorite. ZipRecruiter allows you to, well, if you post a job listing in just one place, then you're going to get bad people out for it, just because it's one place. You want to sow your seeds wide. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click, just to find that perfect hire for you. You can find candidates in any city, industry, or industry nationwide. You just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. They will come flocking to you, and you don't have to worry about, you know, playing phone tag or juggling emails or whatever. And it's used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses everywhere. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. We should do this for the podcast. And we can find
ZipRecruit?
Yeah, we should ZipRecruit like a hype person or a social media person or like craft, like a personal chef.
What's Flavor Flav doing?
Yeah, I was going to say.
He could hype us.
He's probably good on money.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
I have a Jumbotron message here, and it's for Bryce/Calvin and McKenzie. And this message is from the podcast interest subset of the Slack subset of the acapella subset of the Glee Club. Who say, IO brothers, please help us congratulate Bryce, Calvin, and McKenzie on their engagement. They are both huge fans, and it would be an honor if you could bestow a choice wedding hashtag upon them. God, I couldn't do this for my own fucking nuptials. I don't know why I think I could do it for Bryce, Calvin, and McKenzie. Three names, two hearts.
Bryce Calmac,
the planet that Alf was from.
Hashtag
a very Alf wedding.
Yep, there it is.
A very Alf hashtag a very Alf wedding. Hope that helps.
Help this that message.
This message is for heads. And it's from Big R. And Big R says, I know this way late or early by now. So let's just say it's both a happy birthday and Merry Christmas from your best friend and biggest boy. You've been the best part of my life for the last 2 years. And now that we'll be living together by the time this is read, I can't wait to share every night and morning with you. Hit me on my mobile.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's sweet, but like it seems like we missed the time window so badly that not only might you not be living together, you may have like died of old age in each other's arms notebook style at this point. And we apologize for we got a lot of plates we're spinning right now. Merry Christmas, though.
But here's the thing, since we just opened up that new flood of like buying things, we could have just done this so super early.
That's possible.
Maybe Big R bought this thinking like it won't do this till 2018. And here we are knocking it out in like January.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm comedian Emily Heller.
And I'm cartoonist Lisa Hannawalt.
And we're the hosts of Baby Geniuses.
Do you want to learn weird new facts?
Do you like hearing successful creative women talk about their poop?
Do you want the scoop on Martha Stewart's pony?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, our show is for you.
We interview people like Paul F. Tompkins,
Kristen Shaw,
Michael Che,
and more. So check us out on Maximum Fun.
And let us mess up your brain.
Yes, please. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby
geniuses, tell us something we don't know. Let's do a question.
Here it comes. Strap in. I'm leaving my job and have no interest in going out to drinks or having dinner with the people I currently work with to celebrate. That's in quotes. Or say goodbye. How do I make a graceful exit without having to spend social time with people who I don't like? That's from Moving On in Maryland. This seems kind of like an open shut case, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never accidentally hung out with people. I guess if I get stuck in an elevator, maybe, and somebody's got a bottle of bubbly, maybe then, but that's never happened. I don't think this is a tough one, right? Just don't.
This is why we need like valets and, like a steward that can just sort of announce your non-presence at an event. I regret to inform you, Griffin McElroy has milk-based diarrhea again. Gaji Gudin, he says, here's a roast he made for you. Just kidding, I made it.
You can have a cake with your face on it, but you're not there, but the cake with your face on it is. So they could sort of ceremonially say goodbye. But, like, not in a way that you have to participate with.
Yeah, they can all eat your face and talk about their favorite Gregory memories.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this.
Feels like what a bad if, one.
Well, hold on. Justin!
No, Justin's right. Sometimes there's just something in the air where I can tell you're about to float a real
give it a moment. All right. Maybe what you do is, like, maybe a week before your last day, you just kind of like spread around the office that you've decided to take like a surprise trip. You're going to treat yourself. You're taking a weekend getaway to like Colombia. And then you just don't come back to work. And then slowly over time, perhaps a myth will develop that either you've just decided to live in Colombia from now on, or like maybe they need to start planning like a rescue mission.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying maybe leave – I'm saying leave a little mystery.
Just a mystery, sure.
Leave just a story. Let the myth you leave behind be bigger than yourself. You know what I mean?
It is important, though, that you alert the authorities ahead of time that this is happening.
Oh, this is going to have to go deep. This is going to have to go deep. All the way to the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for A Dog's Purpose, and it taught me a lesson, and I won't see the film. But it taught me a lesson about, like, spending time with just people in this world, or dogs, because you never know which one of them harbors the soul of a kindred lost spirit. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't know which one of your coworkers used to be another one of your coworkers that died. But you really liked that coworker. All I'm saying is A Dog's Purpose taught me to just really value the important things in life, like human connections and also dog connections. So I just want you to think about that before you just shut all these people out.
That's true. What if you missed them? Like, what? Maybe that last day. This is the kind of setting someone would make for, like, a movie, where it's like your last day at work and you've hated everybody. Mm. And it wasn't until this moment that you've really come to appreciate what you never took advantage of and these people's lives and the stories that they had and the impact that they could have on your life. Maybe this last 24 hours could be your hit film, Fist Fight, which I also have not seen, but I assume is about Charlie Day and Ice Cube learning to appreciate each other as people and not fighting. I don't know. Like I said, I've only seen muted previews on Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
But all I assume saying, that's what it's about. Or Here I'm Comes the Boom?
It could be Here Comes the Boom. All I'm saying is that your boss could be your dog that died a while ago, so fucking show some respect.
And your dog could be your boss that died a while ago.
You don't know. You don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's what this life has taught me, this movie, this wonderful film. I got a Yahoo here. It's sent in by Mario Panagetti. Thank you, Mario. It's by Yahoo Answers user K, who asks, what would you name five sons? What would you name five sons, all born 2 years apart? Do not use Hubert, Jeremy, Beckett, Devin, Jack, Ryan, Clinton, Fred.
I'm sorry,
so you
what?
Know, you, what would you name five sons? You know you're going to have five sons. Like, uh-huh. my plan, we're going to get to five. No, any way we need to. We will have five sons.
Okay,
so here's you have mine. That in mind. So you come up with a naming structure for your five sons ahead of time. What would you...
Here's mine.
Okay.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, okay. Thursday, Saturday.
What happened Friday?
Exactly. Now you're thinking about it.
Okay. It's a lot of work to go through, and also a lot of work for these five boys to go through.
All right, let me hit you with this. Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, Chandler.
What happened to Ross? Where's Ross, though?
The dad's name's Ross.
And the mom's name is Gunther.
Okay.
And the grandpa's name is Friends.
And this is our dog, Central Perk.
I didn't think about this when I had my one son. Mm-hmm. So what if I have four more sons?
Yeah, you gotta have a theme going.
Could I do like Sonic the Hedgehog, Tails the Fox, Knuckles the Echidna, Big the Cat, Cream the Rabbit, all Sonic characters? Fuck yeah, got it. I got one.
George Foreman did a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, George Foreman had a fun time with his son names.
You couldn't do that again, huh? Like, no. You couldn't. It's pretty wonderful that he did it, but I'm not sure you could keep doing it.
What if you named it after a single word NBC hit sitcom? So Frasier, mm-hmm. Cheers, mm-hmm. This is my son Coach, this is my son
Friends.
Wings. This is my son Wings. Hello, I'm Wings. I'm 3 years old, and I am Wings. Hello, I am Wings.
Hello, I am Coach. I'm older than Wings.
I love you, big brother.
I love you, Wings.
What if you named your sons like five professions, or like you named, for example, your son Wings, you trained from birth to become a pilot. You know,
okay.
What I mean?
And,
like,
and maybe Cheers would be a cheerleader.
Yeah,
Frasier would be somebody who repaired Frasier's.
yeah, it looks like I got a little bit of cracks in your Frasier. I can take care of that.
I'm a skilled Frasier, so I should be able to fix that one right up.
Not
for
gonna
you.
Be cheap though. Frasier like that, it's gonna be in the four figure range. I'm sorry to say,
that's a solid oak Frasier. Never see those anymore.
Okay, the Kevin and the Furious, two Kevin, two Furious.
Oh my mm-hmm. god,
the Kevin and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Yes,
Kevin and Furious Fast mm-hmm. Kevin.
To Kevin.
From Kelly.
To Kevin from Kevin. Fuck, that's really good, Justin. You nailed it. And that's good, because then if you accidentally, you know,
have another one
bone down and you crank out a couple more Kevs, three more Kevs, the fate of the Kevin. Oh, no, the Kevin of the Furious.
The yeah, hard shit. Thing is going to be somehow naming Kevin Drift, but, like, having him come after all the other... So, like, your third son will actually be your fifth son.
I have to rearrange these names just to get the naming conventions right. Can I say how amazing it is that through all the really semi-terrible names, and they're fun in a terrible way, but, like, they're terrible in a fun way. Either way, the Fast and Furious films all have really bad names. The fact that they've all been building to what may be the best name for a movie ever, The Fate of the Furious,
right?
Which is like so fucking cool of a name of a movie. Like the fact that they managed to pull that out towards the end is pretty outstanding.
I'm so excited and I'm so hurt by what Vin has done. And I know it's not him. I know he's playing a character, but I don't think I'll ever be able to look at him the same way again.
Yeah. It's a pretty big deal.
How about a new question?
Family comes first, right?
Always. Yeah. It's supposed to. So what the fuck's he doing?
What's he doing right now?
He's kissing Charlize. Why?
Why?
That's not who he's supposed to kiss.
She's not family.
She isn't family.
He should only be kissing family.
You know it's him because there's still cars.
Yeah.
He's still driving fast. So
it's not some sort of android. I thought that too, Justin. I watched the trailer. Yeah. And I was like, this is some sort of clone or cyber android or robot or like CGI hologram like they did with like a Michael Jackson in that one concert. Like, I think it's got to be a hologram, right? It's really him because it's the cars.
I thought maybe it was a Dave situation where it's like, somebody who looks like him and impersonates him that has to take over for him.
Shit.
Or maybe a Meet Dave situation where it's like a big guy with a bunch of little guys inside of him. It would be another possibility. But it's not.
No, it's
those.
Him because it's him and he's saying all this right stuff and he's driving the cars and he's hurting his family.
Wouldn't it be incredible if at the end of the new Triple X movie, like Tyrese rolled up in just like a super, just like sick, you know, sports car and was like, hey, we need you back in the Fast and the Furious movies. We've got a whole new bad guy to fight. And Triple X was like, guess I better go be Dom now. And like hopped in the car. And
then the new
Fast and the Furious movie starts with Tyrese and Vin pulling up in that car.
Oh,
and like
God.
That's the start of that movie.
But unfortunately, they can't get it. Oh, Justin just had a very, very powerful orgasm.
A Fast and the Furious crossover with Triple X where Vin Diesel is both. I can't take it.
I'll tell you when they're going to get there, though. It's going to be Fast and the Furious 30. Because then they just put Triple X right there at the end of it. And there's your fucking title.
Oh, hell yes.
We got a lot of Fast and Furious movies.
Gotta make them faster, guys. Gotta speed up.
And furiouser.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Fast 9 feeling fine. It's gonna be the next one. That one's gonna be more upbeat.
Maybe Fast 10, do it again.
Maybe some web exclusive entries.
Yeah.
Only on Netflix.
The dirty Fast and Furious dozen. We're gonna get there.
Yeah.
Ocean's Fast 11.
Yeah. Maybe one could just be a murder mystery for like a weekend, and that's like another one just like covered. We just got to rush through them, is what I'm saying.
20 through 26 is an ARG experience.
Yeah, number 27 just be an escape room somewhere in Los Angeles.
All canonical.
All canonical.
All canonical.
What happened to...
Ludacris dies in the escape
Ludacris
room.
Ludacris died in the escape room, and he's not in the movies. You had to go to the escape room.
It's a great crossover, and all the plot lines are unintelligible. Yo, I can't help you guys with this one. One of my wings is alive again. What?
What? Oh, you had to read the Choose Your Own Adventure book to understand that one.
The angel that lives inside of me is starting to break through. The angel that lives inside of you?
Yeah, that was in the Angry Birds Fast and Furious crossover app.
I hate an angel in the Angry Birds Fast game.
Yo, I'd love to come on this adventure, but Crombulord, the planet inside my heart, the tiny planet inside my heart can't, it's the dark times because of the Harvest Festival, so I can't make it out for this one.
We stole the planet from Jason Statham, remember? When he became Galactus.
Well, it's just you and me, Rocket Raccoon.
Here's another question from a listener. I work at a small coffee shop. It's pretty slow, so I know that a lot of people that come in. I have a good rapport with the customers and often have pleasant and lengthy chats with them. However, I've noticed a trend where some customers have started blatantly shielding their PIN numbers from me as they pay with a card. This offends me because it's rude, sure, but also because they think I would pick such a boring and obsolete way to steal. This has been happening quite a bit, and I'm wondering what my next move is. Do I say something? Am I allowed to make a goof?
That's from Ocean Zero. Yeah, this is fucking, man, this is so brutal. Because do you guys do that? Do you guys shield your PIN?
No, I yell it out loud.
Okay.
Well, no,
mine's just 6969, so like it's not even that good of a PIN. But like, It's not. You're going to have to catch me and kill me to take my debit card from me. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to have my secret 6969 phrase.
I don't care. I mean, like, if you steal my debit card, it's going to be canceled by the time you hit the corner. Like, there's, it's no good yeah. to you. And if somebody did, like, purloin my numbers, which has only happened basically 8 or 9 different times. And I have, because, like, I just buy, like, I don't know, Russian coffee cups or something. I don't know what I'm doing out there, but I keep getting my numbers stolen. And when it does, the bank calls me and is like, hey, J-Man, happened again. I'm like, yeah, I know. It happens. Send me a new card. They're like, you know it. And I don't care. Like, you can, I don't care. Steal my PIN. I don't give a shit.
I saw someone share a video with me on Facebook that's like, when you enter your PIN, you need to put, like, once you're done, put your whole hand on the pad, or else someone can take, like, a heat, you know, one of those, like, thermal scanners, and show which buttons are warm. Because, and I'm like, first of all, if I saw someone do that right after me, it's like, hey, what's that guy doing with that thermal scanner? But secondly, if you brought your thermal scanner to the coffee shop to steal my PIN number, do you need money that I can give you $10?
Just sell the thermal scanner.
Where'd they get that thermal scanner? Hold on.
This is, don't do this thing. If I'm having a nice conversation with you and I'm making you a panini at the Starbucks, and I hand you your panini and I say, that'll be $40. And you try to be sneaky with your PIN, like I'm gonna hack you. That hurts my feelings. We just had a nice conversation about your kids while I made you a nini.
I think you should say, well, I think it's fair. You didn't see what I did to that panini. Like, you can't watch me make your drink. You just have to trust.
Are we all hacking each other all the time now? Because it's not just computers anymore.
The prevalency of hacking has not, like, hacking has now gone around the bend for me, where it's like, they gonna get you. Like, they, if they want you,
yeah,
they gonna get you. So, like, why not just be chill about it? Like, I don't know. If you want me, they're gonna get you. Like, I'm just, like, not sweating it anymore. It's gonna happen. If they want you, they gonna get you.
Damn. There's gotta be a way to put up a cyber wall.
No,
that's walls. The thing. That's the thing, Griffin. It's what you gotta do. What you gotta do is you gotta make yourself so open to attack that you're, like, low hanging fruit, and they're just like, no, I'm not gonna hack Travis.
There's no challenge.
What is that? A baby could hack Travis. Look at that baby over there hacking Travis.
It's the Sun Tzu baby boy technique.
Exactly.
Where he says, and it's I believe it's in the third Sun Tzu book where he says, just make yourself look like a little baby and dookie on yourself, and then your enemies will see you and say, he's not worth fighting. And then when he turns around,
Art of War 3, Tokyo Drift.
Right. And then when they turn around, you fucking hack them.
Yeah. You hack them. You hack them back. You counter hack.
That's what we need to do. No walls. Because they're going to break through my fucking ice in the reboot Cyberverse. I'm just going to have to go in there myself. I got to learn how to. Maybe that's my zag. I've been trying to find out what my zag's going to be for 20 Serpentine. And maybe it's I just become a fucking white hat hacker. And I go and I, you know, and I sort of become. Yeah.
Let me explain to you why I need that so very badly.
Okay.
It is my dream, as a child of the 90s, it is my dream in life to one day see a hacker-on-hacker computer battle, like, with like, sweat on their brow, and furious, like, just typing, and, like, they're blocking them at every turn, you know what I mean? And, like, I want to see it. Like it's a dance, like it's a beautiful hacking dance.
Yeah.
The thing I was led to believe happened all the time by movies in 1992. And I never see it.
It doesn't happen that much.
I want it so bad. And then it ends and everybody's exhausted, but like, we barely kept the launch code safe.
Yeah, and I'll be like, so it looks like it was a draw. And I'll be like, is it? And then I'll hold up their codes. I'll be like, got your codes.
Got your codes here.
I want it so bad.
Can I read one more Yahoo real quick?
Yeah, you can get one in under the wire.
It's from Rachel Rosing. Game recognized game, Rachel Rosing. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user Bernard A, who asks, why did John Hancock write name so big on the Constitution? Now, there's a quick answer here from David B., who says, John Hancock was president of Congress when the Declaration of Independence was adopted and signed. According to legend, Hancock signed his name largely and clearly so that King George could read it without his spectacles, but the story is apocryphal and originated years later. Whatever the reason, it clearly had something to do with emphasis. So I've heard that before. He signed it so that King George could read it with his stupid bad eyes. Mm-hmm. And if that's not the answer, why did my boy John Hancock, when everybody else is like, Jill signed it, John Adams. And then this motherfucker rolls up and he's like, Jonathan Hancock.
I actually know the reason. I know.
No, that. Well, don't say the real reason.
No, I know it, Griffin.
Okay, but it won't be funny if he's the real
No, thing. I know it. Actually, John Hancock wrote his signature so big to cover up where Ben Franklin wrote, I signed your crack.
Oh, yeah. Have a great summer.
Have a great summer. I love you like a sister. Ben Franklin.
Benny F.
John Hancock was like, Franklin!
He just wanted to cover. He wanted to try to obscure where Ben Franklin had just written cock in huge letters on there. It's like, well, we got to do something with this because Benny Frank just wrote.
What did you write, John Ham? Don't worry about it.
Just don't worry about it. I'll just change my fucking name. It's fine. History will never know the difference.
No one's going to see this shit, anyways. You're going to lock this away somewhere, right?
Till Lynn rolls up with the sequel, with the squeakquel, all about the cock, man. There's probably not as rich a vein there.
No, very but, short.
What if he had...
Have you seen Hamilton 2, the squeakquel, cock man?
Cock man?
Instead of talking about how he's going to change the world, it's exactly the same show, except it's just a young John Hancock talking about how one day he's going to write his name really big on an important document.
It could be that John Hancock had one regular hand and one Foo Fighters Everlong big hand, and that was his right hand.
John,
and
please sign it with your left. John, wait, just please use the left. No!
We only get one shot of this. We've had to rewrite this thing so many times. Please, John.
Yeah, it's like 17 or 1800 something, and... It's the paper's really hard to come by. Please use your not giant everlong hand.
Paper's so hard to come by, we can't afford calendars. We don't even know what year it is.
It is fun to think about the fact that, like, you live a whole life, and in one moment of extravagance, you change the whole, like, way in which you are, like, through all of history. Yes. Like, no matter what you did. Father, a brother, son, like patriot, politician. No, you're just the guy who signed his name so big on there. But in doing so, also, there's a lot of people whose names are on there that people don't talk about much. Yeah. But old John is just like,
talk about,
well,
Thomas Mifflin or Robert Morris.
They should talk about the rest of those people, because the bullshit of all this is, John Hancock wrote his name first, and everyone else went, I'm going to write it smaller than that. Like, everyone else could have also, but, like, they made John Hancock the dude in the office who, like, signs the birthday card first and writes, like, a big, long message, and everybody else just writes, like, their name. And it's like, well, thanks, everybody. Like, I thought we were all going to go all in on this, and, like, you guys left me just hanging in the wind, and you all could have written your names big, too, but now I look like an asshole.
Now I look like history's asshole. Also, I will say this. If you haven't looked at the signature in a while, check it out. If my signature was that fucking rad,
yeah.
It is the fate of the furious of signatures. Like, if my signature was that cool, I'd probably do it really big, too, every time.
Also, just one last thing that we do need to address is that John Hancock Defo did not sign the Constitution. He got up on the Declaration of Independence. So we got that one wrong. We got that one very wrong. We were very wrong on that. Let's just cut that tweet out. Let's cut out the last 20 minutes of this podcast.
Go listen to Stuff You Should Know if you want facts. You know?
Stuff You Should Know. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are different things. They're different stuff. Two different sheets.
Who signed the Constitution real big? Did anybody do that?
Yeah, I was just looking at this. Let's talk about this big signature, and it's from Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer. Who the fuck are you? Who gave you the right, Dan?
I think the weirdest part is where somebody just drew Kilroy on the Declaration. Who did that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Let's wrap up so Justin can go do his jiu-jitsu.
Excellent. Taekwondo, Don't be a dick. They're two different, very different things. I don't know why, but I'm pretty sure they are. I'm still early yet. That's going to do it for us this week on My Brother and Me. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you to this week's sponsors. If you want to, I think there's a, like, we don't know specifically, but we're about, well, we are, as of this moment, exactly 1 month out from the premiere of My Brother and Me TV show on CISO. So you're going to start seeing, like, things.
Stuff? Yeah.
Start seeing some things probably this week. It'll be on our Facebook group, My Brother and Me Appreciation Group, and also on our Tweedo at MBMBAM. So make sure you follow those so you can see that stuff when it pops off.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a fucking great, powerful tune off a great, powerful album, and you're just going to love it if you haven't listened to it already. You can go to MaximumFun.org to check out all the shows on the MaxFun Network. There's a bunch of really, really great programs, and they're all for free. Stuff like Jordan Jesse Go and Stop Podcasting Yourself and Throwing Shade, all on Maximum Fun. And we have a bunch of other podcasts and video stuff that we do at McElroyShows.com. And you can check out all of that there.
Also on McElroyShows.com is our contact info and Twitter accounts and all that stuff.
I'm going to be on the Jonathan Colton cruise. It is March 4th through the 11th. And it's going to be really fun and cool. Some people that are going to be on there include, Jeffrey Craner, the Welcome to Night Vale folks, Nerf Herder. Here's one that I just found out about, a relatively new addition that I'm really stoked about. Rebecca Sugar, creator of Steven Universe, is going to be on there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so fucking jealous that you get to go on this.
I'm just going to follow her around and just tell her how much I enjoy her program. Not in a weird way. And we're doing a live Sawbones on there, so you're not going to want to miss that. In fact, you're going to want to check it totally out. So, JoCoCruise.com. There are some cabins still available, so go come with me on the beautiful Holland America Westerdam ship that is a boat, probably.
A boat ship.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good cruise, I bet.
I have a final Yahoo here. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
It's from Jeffrey Corbello, and it's by Yahoo Answers user Shrek, who asks, in Back to the Future 3, since time travel is obviously fake, how did they get back to the Olden West to film the movie?
It's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at MaxFunStore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com. Because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.